It's Two Jerks, One Vote, the podcast where Jerkatorium reviews online songwriting competitions, and this time we're covering the SpinTunes 23 cover song bonus round with special guest Chase Rock.
We said we weren't gonna do this again, but we didn't hold out very long. We said we weren't gonna do this, but then somehow we're right back here judging all of your songs. We could spend this time something constructive, something really worth our while, but that's not our style. Two Jerks, One Vote.
Hi there, this is Ryan. I'm one of the jerks of Jerkatorium.
And I'm Chumpy. I am the other jerk in Jerkatorium.
And this is Two Jerks, One Vote, the review podcast for online music competitions. Today is a bit of a treat because we're reviewing the bonus round 5 for SpinTunes 23. This bonus round is not judged or ranked. It's just an opportunity for people to cover their fellow competitors. Typically, it would be for people to cover other competitors' songs from any round of SpinTunes 23, but this time it turned out a little different, and I'm sure we'll get to that later. Before we get too far along, though, I want to introduce our special guest. For this podcast, we are joined by fellow SpinTunes 23 judge, Chase Rock. Chase is an improv artist at Second City since 2021. And yes, I mean that Second City, which is like the premier improv organization in the world, as I understand it. Chase was a competitor in SpinTunes 18, which I believe was his first ever SpinTunes, and where he made it all the way to the final round, which is quite a feat for any first timer. If you haven't heard his songs from that SpinTunes, then I highly recommend you go listen to them because they're fantastic. And speaking of fantastic tunes, you should also check out his other musical project, Kid Copter, which has a bunch of stuff on Bandcamp and some amazing videos on YouTube, including a video for his SpinTunes 18 Round 2 song, The Show, which has a super cool video. And honestly, everything Ersatz Records has on YouTube is a professional grade, excellent production, and most of it features Chase in one role or another. So welcome to the podcast, Chase.
Thank you. That was such a nice introduction. It's so weird to hear you both in person like this, to talk to you and hear you talk back. I'm a fan of the pod.
Nice.
Okay, well, this is great. We like getting some feedback anyway, whether it's good or bad. So
great. Well, I poured myself a nice Spanish wine before I came on here. So anything that I have to say, it will come out by the time that this is done. That's a
nice. We're keeping it loose.
Good. Well, in preparing your intro, I saw footage of you on the guitar and the bass guitar and drums and the synthesizer and vocals. So you do it all, right?
I do it all. I'm not, I would say, not especially good at any of it. I do it all with a lot of enthusiasm. I started playing guitar when I was like in, I learned House of the Rising Sun like everybody does when I was in, I think, sixth grade, something like that. And I played throughout my high school years, picked up bass, picked up drums, that sort of thing. Recently, I think synthesizer is really what I've gotten into because I just love the absolute endless creation that you can do with one of those. But really, when it comes to like Kid Copter stuff, the stuff that I'm making, a lot of that is me handling rhythm section stuff. And I'm playing with two other MDs at Second City that go by, Don Calypso and I'm trying not to say their real names because we all have aliases in Kid Copter. But Don Calypso and gosh, I can't even remember what John Love's alter ego is, but his real name is his actual Christian given name is John Love. So that's a cool enough name on its own that I can never remember what his
name. Yeah.
I know. But they're both MDs at Second City as well. So I got lucky enough to be making comedy on stage and they were musical directors there.
Master MD? What's an MD?
A musical director.
Oh,
yes,
musical director.
Master,
there we go.
Yeah. So they're handling a lot of the musical duties at these shows. And you always end up hanging out and grabbing a drink together. And we became a little band and make a lot of stuff together. It's
very
a lot of
cool.
Fun.
Very cool.
So Kid Copter is all Second City folks.
Yeah. 100% Second City folks. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so tell us more about Ersatz Records.
After we started making songs together as Kid Copter, we kind of wanted to open up production to other people that are in the community that just want to make music, but and are super talented. They have a great point of view. They're great lyrical writers. Some of them just have never been in front of a microphone before. So we get to record a lot of great stuff with people who are just some of my favorite artists to watch, some of my favorite artists to be around. And we just wanted to kind of create an outlet for people to make whatever it is they wanted to make. The most recent thing that came out was we just released, we didn't make the video for it, but we made the music for a song called Booty on the Brain, which is sort of a Monster Mash style parody song featuring a returning character that is a guy, a mad scientist who keeps putting booties where they shouldn't be. It's truly one of the more sophomoric things I've ever made, but it's so fun. And Chris Kattan was on the newest one, so that was kind of fun.
Well, that's cool. Up on the YouTubes, I did see Booty Vampire, which featured you in a couple of different roles, I believe, including the drummer and perhaps a big-time studio producer or something. But yeah, and that was very interesting. But yeah,
sure.
I highly recommend it. Yeah.
That's Andy Bolduc. He's currently on the main stage at Second City right now, and he's done two reviews there that have been really well received. And he's just a super talented comedian. And the great thing about that song too was that we made the track, and then all of the characters in that song are just him, and he's improvising the entire thing. We have a video of him just switching voices back and forth on the same microphone as he's going through. So he just basically improvised a scene with himself, and we didn't even really edit it. We just put it together and made it the song that it is. So if it feels real loose, and it does, you'll you'll know why that is.
Yeah. Just, like maybe it absolutely made up on the spot.
100% of it is. Yeah. 150% of it is made up on the spot.
And hilarious. Yeah.
It's a great time.
Cool. All right. Let's see. Before I get to the reviews, I want to stress that if you fall into a Chase Rock YouTube rabbit hole, it will be very rewarding. I'm talking Booty Vampire, Welcome Back, No Hands, and every one of a zillion things you've had your fingers in. So I'm going to highly recommend that the listeners check out, you know, just everything that you've done. And what have I not yet mentioned that you've done that you'd like to point out?
Oh, gosh. I think you've nailed everything that I'm proud of.
Okay.
I'm sure there are things in the past, you know. I've always been making things because I really enjoy making things, and you start remembering the most recent ones, and the failures from the past you start putting somewhere else, and every now and then one pops up and you go, oh yeah, I remember doing that. Yeah, when I first started out, the only reason I got connected to all this because I was a vlogger when I was 19 and in college. I was vlogging in the style of the Vlog Brothers, if you're familiar, and pretty much absolutely doing an imitation of them. And I remember somebody was doing Song Fu that I followed in that group, and I signed up for it. And I guess it must have been Micah. Somebody from Spintoons kept me on a list for a very long time, because when Spintoons 18 rolled around, I was like, I'm going to give this a try again. I'm really glad, too, because it's my favorite. I think this is the coolest. I'm always like, people think I'm pandering, that I'm sucking up in the chat. I genuinely believe, as somebody who's worked in like as a career in the arts, something like this is so rare that this many people are this generous with their time to create such a good experience where people are free to just be inspired to create something and get feedback on it. It's a very rare thing, and I think it's special, and I like it a lot.
Very well said. Yeah. And I mean, this round is a great example of that. Here we have people spending a lot of time doing what you could, you could say it's a bit incestuous, maybe, you know, with everybody.
Let's go with that one. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're covering each other's songs for this competition that so few people have heard about. And, you know, it's so internal. And but the other thing is it's great. It's like a lot of, you know, people spend a lot of time on a cover of a song that one of their competitors did. You know, it's showing some love for your colleagues here.
And people were super creative this round. I was pleased with many, many of the songs. So
absolutely. And, you know, covering somebody else's song is a lot of fun. And it's something that they appreciate a hell of a lot. if somebody covers your song, then that's just fantastic. And, you know, so it's all good vibes, appreciation both ways, and just wonderful. So, you know, for future rounds, I recommend anybody do this. Give it a shot.
Totally. I did it in Spin Tunes 18. I covered Eigengrau, which was, boy, I wish I remember the artist's name.
Jocko Homo.
There we go. Jocko, who's an artist that I really enjoy, kind of has a Devo vibe to them. And then I got somebody covered one of my songs too, which was, yeah, you're so right. It felt so good that somebody listened to your song and was like, I'm going to try my hand at that one. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember really liking that song, Eigengrau, from Spin Tunes 18, though. It was a good one.
I still like it. I can hear it in my head all the time. Eigengrau, as old as time, is just a solid lyric that sticks with me.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the reviews. And we're going to start off with Distance doing Just a Theory, originally by Berkeley Social Scene. I didn't know it was just a theory. I always thought it was something real. I didn't know it was just a theory. But this is how I feel. Saw the apple from the tree. Newton's law. So clear to me, but now I wonder, can it be just a theory called gravity? I didn't know it was just a theory. I always thought it was something real. This is such a very, very different sound, a real different approach than the Berkeley Social Scene's original. And I love it when people take these liberties and they thoroughly, you sort of reinterpret the original. I think this is fantastic and it's a great listen. And, you know, I don't mind the spoken word part. Usually I might, but, you know, I just think this was, you know, all good. I just enjoyed it a lot.
I don't listen to a lot of EDM, so whenever there's like a distinct, like, you know, prep and drop phase, I'm always sort of wowed by those moves because I haven't heard it a million times. So like, and this one, you know, when they do the drop, I think there's like an EQ sweep or something that happens. Like, you know, just all of the EQs go down to nothing. And then there's like a reverse cymbal crash or something. And then everything gets bassy and loud, like it's dubstep or something. I think that's cool. I am wowed by that every time it happens. And I really like the way he chopped up the vocals in the drop section. And then he kind of made the vocal syllables like go exactly on beat. Like he played the vocals like they were a MIDI instrument or something. I thought that was really cool.
Definitely. I think that Distance is maybe one of my favorite all around producers in this competition. I love the way that they combine electronic elements, but with really like organic sounding things. I can tell they're recording instruments that they are playing, but they're combining it with these other electronic elements. And it creates this really nice set of layers and textures. Their voice too is growing on me in a way. I think there's almost like a Daniel Johnston quality to it.
Yep.
That I get from it. You know, it's like every now and then I wish melodically they would focus on creating really interesting melodies that they could fall inside of, but they're getting better. And I hear them working on it more and more. And I also hear them performing with more emotion in their voice than from the beginning of the concert to now. I think that a lot of times it's so easy to get focused on being as accurate as possible. And you forget to connect with the song on an emotional level, which is probably more important in most takes than being exactly on the thing. And, you know, I like some of those things. I mean, I would compare it to like a, you know, Bob Dylan or a Lou Reed. There are plenty of singers who weren't necessarily Celine Dion or anything like that, but they make these really compelling performances. So I like that Distance is starting to focus more on having really compelling vocals in their productions. And then I think the music rocks. The music in this song is just good. And whether you're an electronic fan or not, I think it's very easy to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not anything that Berkeley Social Scene would have anticipated in terms of a cover.
No, I'm like, sure they were wowed by it a little bit too. Like, ooh, this sounds different.
Yeah.
I hope Distance keeps competing. Yeah. Sometimes Distance gets a little upset when they are not the victor. And this is a thing I will say. that's not the value of this competition. The prompt gets you to be creative, make something that you otherwise wouldn't have. You can take the notes, you cannot take the notes. That's all totally fine. But it doesn't matter if you win this competition. It true, like, that is not the point of the thing. I know it feels like it's the point of the thing, but enjoy making the songs because we enjoy listening to them. Sorry if that's too personal.
No, I think that's good.
I think that's fine. I mean, not to toot our own horn, but Jerkatorium won Spin Tunes 13, and our net worth went up like crazy.
It was everything we imagined.
That Spin magazine article, the Rolling Stones. So many offers to open for. No, I mean, yeah, it's no stakes. I keep on mentioning it. There's literally no stakes. I don't think that winning matters at all. I think if you're looking for recognition in sort of any metrically measurable way, that if you're in Spin Tunes or Song Fight or Nur Ein or any of that, then you're looking in the wrong place. And I don't know where to tell you to look, but this is not it. It is what it is a great community and a lot of fun. Kumbaya.
On that note, we've got more Kumbaya coming at you with Anne Company. This is Eric Ames doing The Tunes Are Spinning, which was originally a Micah Summersmith song. And every round somebody's going home dejected, because they finally crafted two just got rejected. Let's not dwell on that now. Instead, let me tell you about how the tunes are spinning. They're spinning right at you. They're coming on thick and fast. The one that's winning is the one that's catchy. It's the mixing impression that lasts. But all this music tends to leave a person senseless. We need a guy who's already lost his senses. So let me introduce to you a gentleman who used to do a lot of interesting things. The undisputed minor duke of comedy. He's the William Henry Harrison of harmony.
Is this Anne Company?
It's Anne Company, or Company. I think it, what, pardon?
I was wondering, is it Spin Tune?
No, it's Anne Company. It's no Spin Town.
Oh, okay. So I was wondering if that was some posting weirdness. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's no Minecraft either, so.
I was confused too. I didn't know what is this. Yeah, I didn't know who this was within the competition.
Yeah, I think it's just so Spin Town knows a lot of musicians, and I know that in the past he has actually contract hired some musicians to do covers of Today's the Day, and I think he would post them on his blog, and sometimes some of these musicians would stiff him, or, you know, they'd do shitty covers because they didn't like the song or something like that. So I think Spin Town knows a lot of musicians, and judging from these entries, he knows a lot of talented musicians.
Yeah.
This song in particular, I thought was just killer. I mean, it's got all the technical stuff that I love about Spin Town and Company, but this time it was in service of one of Micah's songs. And this is perhaps my, you know, one of my favorite covers of this round. I'm going to probably say that a few times, but Eric Ames, he's like a goddamn pro or something, because this is perfect. I think his vocals are awesome. His harmonies are good. I especially love it when people do stuff like, there's this line, the William Henry Harrison of harmony. And on harmony, of course, it's all harmonized. It's like that word painting thing. Totally awesome.
I loved that moment. I loved that moment. Yeah.
That's a great line. A great line from the song, too. Micah's an excellent lyricist, and it just all of Micah's magic really comes through strong in this song. So, and having the guitar solo like mimic the vocal line is always a solid choice. Like, that should be your default, I think. And then if it's not quite right, you can, you know, noodle on some other guitar solo. But when the vocal line is strong like this, I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah, I loved the little ska halftime rhythmic switch up that happens in the song, where it's the hi-hat starts going on the 2-4 section. Really love that. There's awesome performances throughout, really vocally, musically, everything sounds great. I wrote down, this is probably isn't the song that I would listen to independent of it being an intro to the Spin Tune listening party, but I think I'd look forward to hearing it every time it played as an intro at the Spin Tone listening party. So, you know, shout out Tommy G, shout out Boffo Yucks. This is just a really fun, super fun track.
Yeah, Spin Tunes 14, round four. It was a strange but kind of excellent round four. And Tommy G got like sort of a lot of things to choose from. And he still, you know, sometimes uses other ones. I mean, this is pretty much his traditional go-to for any of the listening parties. But, you know, understandably, it's a good one. But who knows? Maybe he'll start using this cover of it too. He's got yet another option. And I thought, yeah, just like you guys, I thought this song, this cover was a blast. Kind of reminds me of the Bruce Lee Band, and it's got this kind of semi, I don't mean this is a bad thing, but semi monotone delivery of the lead vocals, but it's just fantastic. It's great. It's yeah, again, you know, Chumpy stole all my comments really, but I just enjoyed the hell out
Chumpy.
Of it.
Well, you get to go first kick. Next time, Chase. So you nice. get all the good stuff on this next one.
And I've got stuff to say.
Yeah. And now that I think about it, maybe this And Company is because it doesn't include Spin Town. You know, does that make sense?
That like was Spin my that was just... my interpretation.
That makes sense. Okay. All right.
And Company, which is featuring Joe Romero. The Ballad of Henry Pym, which is a Boffo Yucks Dudes cover. He was the Ant-Man. He's the incredible Ant-Man. He shrinks to microscopic size. Can't fight much crime. Lord knows he tries. He's not strong like the Hulk or Superman. But he's got lots of tiny friends. The ants upon whom he depends. Built a helmet to communicate with a six-legged pal so he won't be late. In kicking butt and fighting crime, powered by his pain and time. So Meg had tried to take him down. Henry took out that dumb clown. Okay, so, Ryan, would you like to call this a novelty song now, or do you want to wait a little bit before you...
I am going to be just blatant about it. I don't see any reason not to be. I mean, how is this not... This is right out of the Dr. Demento sort of playbook, the original, anyway. I'm not going to go into my commentary about it, but, I mean, since you've poked me... you know, I will say that, yeah, absolutely, it's a novelty song. It was... designed as a novelty song. It sounds yeah. very Dr. Demento, and I, you know, I don't mind that at all. This is something that Tommy's been playing in the listening parties, in the pre-parties, in the post-parties for just pretty much forever. I think he's very happy with it as a general song. I'm going to shut up and let you talk about it now.
No, it's great. I just wanted to get one dig in on the podcast so everybody could hear me going after the champs. No, I think this is good campy fun, you know, which is I guess what Ant-Man should be. And that seems like the point of the whole process. The track is well produced, there's bluesy riffs, there's solos, the vocal is so strong. Lyrically, it's kind of a feat as well. Like I can't believe that it tells the entire story of Ant-Man, sort of down to the domestic abuse. Like almost reluctantly too, it made me laugh every time I heard him say, but he's still got his tiny friends, the ants upon whom he depends. That is the goofiest lyric I've ever heard, but it made me laugh almost against my own will. It made me laugh every single time I heard it. And yeah, I tease about it being a novelty song, but it is about a subject that I'm it's not like a subject that I'm super interested in. I'm not a Marvel head or anything like that, but it's definitely something that I can appreciate. And I had a blast listening to this track.
It's interesting that this song was at the original round one of Spin Tunes 1, and the Boffo Yucks dudes didn't get it done in time, I guess, so it was a shadow. So it's amazing how a shadow from so long ago can still be popular and in people's imaginations years and years and years later, which is really cool. I really like the sort of 50s guitar rock and roll licks at the beginning of the tune, and just the overall vibe of it, I thought it was great. And You know, when these guys are not doing that butt rock style that I'm not fond of, like they can really like just, oh my God, the music is just really good. Anyway, I also got some distinct TMBG vibes from the song that I didn't get from the original. Like there's that line, he's giant man, he's overcompensating giant man. And I don't know, just the way the word man is stretched out, it reminds me of John Linnell. I really like this one, and the cover sticks to the melody and general vibe of the original, but really updates it in a cool way. So, yeah, I'm a fan of this one.
This was, of course, a surprise. I think this is the first one that was a real surprise, to me anyway, in this list, in the listening party. And that's because, you know, it didn't follow the rules of round five, which is supposed to be covers from 23. Of course, the previous one didn't either, but I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's a clever sort of a thing because all of the listening parties, have the tunes are spinning going on. And then we get this little peek into, oh, wait, something else is going on with Spintown and Company, or just, you know, as he's calling it, and Company here. So, yeah, it was a surprise. But again, like Chumpy mentioned, it's from way, way back. And the song itself is very well done, very well produced. Also, maybe a bit long. I mean, I know it's only like 4 minutes or so, but it kind of just goes on and on and on in my mind. So I thought it was a little on the long side, but a good tribute to the original and really well produced. I was quite happy with it anyway. Just sort of as a little background, it could be that Tommy includes this so often in the pre and post parties because their video for this has like 20,000 views.
Holy cow.
I have seen the video. It is a slideshow video of stills from comic books. And, you know, people have different sort of views of slideshow videos, but it's entertaining enough. And of course, the video is a lot of exposition. I mean, the song is a lot of exposition.
That's why it's 4 minutes, man. You got to tell the whole story of Ant-Man.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but, and that must have been part of why the video was so successful. So who knows? Yeah. All right. Let's move on to And Company with Pravin Fernando, Dizan, and Phoebe Carter doing Politics and Promises by Dr. Lynn Dyke.
6 a.m. Thursday, how late the city sleeps. A stray dog chases pigeons up and down the empty streets. There the Highland owner wrenches out his wrinkled hands, counting all the needle marks and wishing that they were his friends. Just up the street on 23rd and Main, there stands a tall glass building where all the laws are made. Transparent to some and mirror-like to most, who cater to the press and wear all of those fancy clothes.
I thought this would be a great addition to the Lynn Dyke Covers album from 2021. The song itself is really impressive. The rapping is great. And so far, I mean, I don't know if I should say it, but I'm enjoying these covers a lot more than the originals. These interpretations, they took a lot of care and put a lot of production on them. And it's really impressive. And yeah, I'm happier in general with what I'm hearing in this than some of the original songs even. Yeah, I like these interpretations.
When I first heard this, I was like, there is no way Dr. Lynn Dyke actually rapped on a song. And I went and I found it. It's from Spintunes 3, Round 3. And the challenge was to write a rap. And I was like, no shit. And I listened to it, and I'm like, oh, Dave rose to the occasion. I mean, it's not great rapping. Like, white guys in general probably shouldn't rap. But, you know, Dave did a reasonable job. I guess Eminem fans should probably not hear me say that. Anyway, we'll edit that out, that particular hot take. But
I'm going to forward you a link of Chase doing No Hands, or a medley, which is just mind-blowing. So, yeah.
But one of the folks who was collaborating with Ann Company on this song must have done the rap, because it was really well done. And I was like, are these the same lyrics Dave wrote? Because they sound like well done. Like these, I mean, and the lyrics Dave wrote were good. It's just that it took a real rapper, I think, to really bring him out. And I was incredibly impressed by this. I was like, damn, if And Company ever like decides to compete in Spin Tunes without, you know, Minecraft references, they're going to go far because there are some very talented folks and they know a lot of very talented folks. I don't know how we can compete with these guys, but this was an amazing cover.
Yeah, the rapper's technical ability was so impressive to me, and the singer, both of them, whoever the vocalist is, they both had such a great pocket. I mean, they're just right where they should be. Every lyric falls exactly where it should be. It never throws off the rhythm of the song. And you can just tell this is a hip-hop artist who has listened to and performed a lot of hip-hop music. This is not their first time right. Getting in front of a microphone and doing this. I really loved the line after a bunch of biblical references, and I guess this isn't their lyrics, but still, I want to give flowers out because I wasn't there when the original song was recorded. After a bunch of biblical references at the end to have, so yeah, go ahead. Did it make you feel better? Did the baptism take or just make you wetter? That is such a great line. I love a line like that. It makes me laugh a lot. It's like, it's both visual and metaphorical, which I think is a really tough thing to do to make a lyric like that work on multiple levels. If I had a criticism of this, the production is so clean. I think there's something about this chord progression that ends up getting a little bit bland by the end of the song. I don't know what it is about it necessarily. Maybe it's that it doesn't change up enough or that the beat doesn't switch up enough for me to stay engaged by it. But I think by the very end of the song, that chord progression lost me a little bit. But the performances, incredible. Such a clean sounding track too, which I always appreciate in a Spin Tune song.
All right, next up, we've got And Company. Doing A Tight Spot by Matt and Donna. And this is Thomas Penninger.
I'm gonna find my little brother, cause I've got a plan to share. I'm feeling bored, so stick your face between those planks atop the stairs. I'm glad we're in agreement that I would be much too tall, but now the banister's caught hold and you can't pull away at all. But let's go now, try to get our story straight. Cause I'll say no, it wasn't my idea. And I'm telling the truth, I'm glad that it was you who was stuck between the boys.
So I guess Thomas is another musician that is part of the large And Company from Spin Town. So this is another old Spin Tunes tune that I had to go look up from Spin Tunes 2 Round 2. Anyway, it was way back in 2011. And the challenge for this song was to write a topical song, meaning a headline from a newspaper no older than 2 weeks from 6/26/2011 when this came out. And apparently this was a true story of a kid who got his head caught in a banister and paramedics had to use olive oil to get him out. I like this cover too. I thought it was, you know, excellently performed and recorded. I also listened to the original a bit, and this one's a very faithful cover. Like, they really got a lot of the sound and the melodies and everything. It's just like they just duplicated it. And what I really wonder, like, who are these people? Like, how does Spin Town know all of these incredible musicians? Like, what's going on there? So I'm going to have to email Spin Town and ask him about that.
Yeah, I really love the singer's voice. I really love this singer's voice. Right away, I connected with it. I love the energy that the song comes out with at the top. Big, fast performances. The guitars sound great. Everything really gives it a lot of energy. The song I was going to write was a little bit novel, Ryan. Sorry that I'm taking your note right away.
But
it was interesting to me because I had to dig into the lyrics to really find that that's what it was. I had to read the lyrics and go, oh, I think this is about a kid getting stuck in a banister. Being rewarded for digging in and discovering what the song is about is worth it to me. If I didn't know it from just listening to it straight up until I went back and did it, I think that that is rewarding to me to read lyrics and be rewarded by them. I will say the sound of the song had a couple of moments where, because every time I listened to this song, I kind of was like, wait, which song is this again? What song is this again? I think there's something about the melody itself that doesn't necessarily stick around in my head. Like some of the, I mean, if I think about some of the great songs from Spin Tunes 23 that really stick out to me, I think about, like, I could right now go, in Pripyat, it's Like I can do it right away. It just comes right back to me. I can hear I promise myself that I would like that comes to me right away. I know that track. And there's nothing about this one that necessarily sticks with me melodically, except for there was one moment that was driving me crazy because I kept hearing this melody and thinking, what does that sound like? What does it sound like? I do think that there's a part in this song that sounds maybe you have to squint your ears a little bit, but I hear "Hey There, Delilah."
Oh,
Because he goes,
yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
yes. So I hear a
Yeah.
little "Hey There, Delilah," and every time I go back to that, I'm like, okay. So I think this probably won't be one that I'm revisiting a lot, but it's not because it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. I really enjoyed it. It just doesn't necessarily stay with me when I leave it.
I feel a little bit like this has been drilled into my head because it gets played by Tommy a lot in the pre and the post shows. And I'm a freak who listens to the pre and the post shows for of these listening parties. And he's got some that he plays a lot more than others. And I think maybe that's actually even why Spin Town chose some of these. And this, I like it a lot. I like the original, I mean. I like the tone of the voice of the original, and just sort of like, even if you're not paying attention to the story of the song, which, yeah, it puts it well into the novelty song territory, yeah, but if you're not listening to it, then it just sounds kind of sweet, and I like the melody and I like the whole song. And this, like Chumpy mentioned, this does seem sort of truest to the original, I think, so far. A lot of the others have been really, taking the interpretation angle off to the left, and I really appreciate that when they kind of put their own spin on it. But this one also was done really well, and it's a song that I like. And yeah, I was pretty happy with it. We should also mention, okay, so Spin Town put in four songs, and even if it wasn't him, even if he just set those in motion, then that's really impressive and really appreciated. Or maybe not appreciated if Matt and Donna never hear about this, or if Dr. Lindyke doesn't check in and find out that he has a another cover of one of his songs, which is, a little odd. I know that that I did a cover with Sarah Parsons of a song that the original artist might never hear because he hasn't come back to Spin Tunes since. So, it's all kind of like weird thinking that you put all this effort into it and that, yeah, sure, people are going to appreciate it, but maybe if the original artist hasn't heard it, or if you haven't heard from the original artist, then that's a little weird. And yeah, I should throw this out there. If somebody does a cover of your song, reach out to them and say thanks. I'm sure that most of the people are doing it, but yeah, just if you appreciate it, let them know that you appreciate it. And I'm also gonna like say here to Spin Town, I love round five. I love every round five, and I like the whole idea and everything. And I really appreciate you doing four entire songs for round five, all with a different sound, all for different artists. It's really impressive. It's really appreciated. It's
All
really
with a
cool.
really high level of quality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I wondered because some of these covers are from earlier rounds, if there was any stockpiling. If this was perhaps some of these songs were maybe set in motion earlier than the round had started in order to have some contributions, which I think is totally fine. For a bonus round like this, I think that's great. And I like hearing the songs.
We are judges. We can disqualify them.
That's true.
Disqualified.
You're out.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. How are you going to rank these if they're all, yeah, I mean, they don't meet. This is not what this round is for. So, anyhow.
We should choose a winner.
Yeah. I feel like this next one is a real possibility for my number one ranking.
Wow. The next song is Cardamom Seed, Robin Hood, which is a Falcon artist cover.
Down through the years,
First of all, I recognize that drum kit from Logic. If I'm not mistaken, that's the old Blue Ridge kit. I don't know if you know about the Blue Ridge kit, but it's my go-to. Anytime I have an artist come in and they play me a song that I want to record for them, instead of doing a metronome, I'll give them like a kick and a snare and just put it on the right space so that they have something to play to that's not that awful metronome sound. Yeah. And the Blue Ridge kit is a go-to for me because it's so soft and gentle and it's really nice.
Kyle doesn't use Blue Ridge, so we have no idea.
We use nothing but SoCal. Like, it's default drummer or get the fuck out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Cardamom Seed covering Robin Hood is definitely the long shot box trifecta. If anybody called it, you know, put money down on this one, you're winning big. I don't think that anybody had this one on their bingo card. And I'm so grateful. It's really fun to hear this track. The production is strong, but I've kind of come to expect that from Cardamom Seed. I really like their productions. I really like the tracks that they make. I'm also glad, and this is something I commented on in one of my reviews, and I'm hearing less of it, is that there always used to be a really harsh vocal saturation that was happening on a lot of Cardamom's tracks that they've toned down a bit. I really like that. I really like that it's now a little bit softer in my ears, that that sibilance isn't hitting my ears as hard. And I think this is a really good song. I think lyrically, the song's a little confusing to me, but that's not Cardamom writing the lyrics. Because the story is Robin Hood stole from the rich and then just kind of kept it and opened a trust fund. Is that what you two are reading from the lyrics?
Yeah,
on this
the trust
song?
Fund called the Bank of Glenny, I think.
Okay, gotcha. So this is in the Glenny verse.
In the Glenny verse, yeah.
Because Spintoons 23 really messed with me. As somebody who has not kept up with the lore of Spintoons enough to know who Glenny was in the first place, this was a weird one to join as a judge. And so I didn't know if that was, it seems like Marion robbed Robin Hood in the end and then ran away with Spintoons 23 contestant Glenny, which great. Lyrically a little confusing, but fun. And I could just tell that Cardamom had a great time making this track. And I think that that's exactly what you want from a bonus track, exactly what you want from a cover. I'm really glad that I got to hear this.
Yeah. I really like his production a lot, and not just because it sounds kind of like 60s Motown. It's got sort of that sound to it. I just feel like he pays a lot of attention to instrumentation and backing vocals. Like, he knows how to make songs catchy. And, like, I don't like some of his production choices. Like, his horns sound kind of cheesy, but, like, I have to say that he uses them effectively. So, like, I don't know. He's very good at, like, arranging, and just everything just sounds really cool. And in the original, I remember I was complaining that it's hard to tell the difference between the verse and the chorus of the Falcon Artist tune. And in this one, it's real clear when it happens, because the chorus is a real standout section. And I really like there's an instrumental break between the chorus and the start of the next verse in this song. And that just sounds really good.
You're talking about like right after Robin Hood was a boar?
Yeah.
I love that section. Love that section.
It's really good. And, you know, there's some lines in the lyrics that talk about glens, like, you know, in that song Danny Boy, from glen to glen and sea to shining sea or something, like glen like a valley. And when he sings the word glen, the voice goes one N. And then later it goes one N after there's the glen. And then when he says the bank of Glenny, I think he says three N's. He just had an N joke in there for, you know, for the Glenny reasons, obviously. So I thought that was incredibly funny. I just like this. I thought musically this just had a great feel to it.
Yeah, I'm a Cardamom Seed, Dutch Widows partisan, always very fond of their stuff. And this is another cover that is a big improvement over the original, I thought. It's excellent production, and it really brings out the potential of the song, and by which I mean the potential that is maybe extremely well hidden in the original song, if you know what I mean. You know, Chumpy and I have done that more or less blatantly in some of our covers, like first time with Heuristics Incorporated, we did it with a song that was just very, I don't know how to put it, it was very sort of
industrial
ambient,
dance,
yeah exactly, and didn't have a melody at all, so we imposed a melody upon it. The chorus was sort of there, but you know, we imposed a lot of a chord progression and a melody that was nowhere in the original song. And we kind of did that with Lycanthrope also. But the thing is, it's like, again, this is sort of finding something within the song that might not have actually been in there and just imposed quality on a song that maybe didn't have all that much production wise in there. So anyhow,
yeah, it was super really impressive.
Yeah, great work. Almost an original song just using Falcon Artists lyrics. Borderline, anyway. Okay, let's move on to Stacking Theory, doing Hikikomori by Distance.
Here I am again, stuck in lyric hell. All the thoughts inside my head are disappearing like they were never there. Here I am again.
I think this is another excellent cover, another cover that does not resemble the original very much. Even this cover sounds sort of difficult to keep in order, if that makes any sense. It's a little, for me anyway, just sort of tracking how it was, you know, progressing was a little odd, but it was fine. I still enjoyed it a whole heck of a lot. I just thought it was a really great interpretation and a great improvement over the original. The original, I didn't mind all that much. That sounds like damning, you know, faint praise. But honestly, I went back and listened to the original again and realized that, you know, maybe I didn't give it the props that it deserved on the first time I heard it. And the last, I mean, it sounded, just returning to it after hearing this cover, it sounded almost like a completely different song, which I hope is praise to both of those songs.
So funny. I love this calling card that Stacking Theory has where he goes, "Hey!" and there's an element of it that reminds me of Harry Carey. "Hey!" and by Harry Carey, I don't mean Seppuku. I'm talking about the beloved Cubs announcer from years and years ago.
Yeah, or maybe Will Ferrell's
yes.
impression of him.
yeah, I think this is just a really fun collab. I mean, it's exactly what I think a bonus round song should be. You pick one of the obscure songs that you think nobody would cover, and you just make it yours. It's not nearly as sparse. I think that with any of Distance's songs, there's like an odd timing to it. Usually there's a really interesting instrument choice. And I like that Stacking Theory took the core of the song and turned it into just a completely different thing. Great production. I like the guitars. I like the weird synths. I like all the little voices that keep popping up in the background. And I also just like the concept of this song in general. I had to look up what Hikikomori is, but I think the concept of thinking that social isolation will somehow force you to be creative when you're feeling stuck in a rut is such a good concept, because it really is something that I think everybody has been in at some point before, where they're like, well, maybe if I just get away from all of this and just stay in a room, I'll be able to create something. And a lot of times you just sit there and it feels like torture because nothing is coming out. So I really enjoyed this. Great job.
Yeah, I like this one a lot too. I like just all of the polish he applied. So he kept all the weirdness of the original, like with all the sounds popping in and out and some of the voices that you can barely hear. I think that he mentioned that this was a birthday gift for Mandrake/Distance/Playbutton, the person with many names, who I guess recently turned 20. So happy birthday, Distance, if you're out there listening.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. I really like there's like this build up towards the last third of the song where Stacking Theory, or Gizzo, I think is the singer from Stacking Theory, where he laments, it's better than being lonely. And then everything musically just sort of gets more and more intense, and then it kind of breaks like a wave on the beach or something. It's just a very cool section. And what I think made this song memorable for me was just all the ear candy and just all the things to grab your attention and the little audio touches that are all over the song. So I thought it was pretty cool. All right, next up we've got Stacking Seeds doing Not Keeping You Safe. And this is a Seabass remix.
Every day I send you details that you must abide by, or bye-bye, baby. Every day I'm changing the rules in a good way for a good cause. Because I'm keeping you safe.
I can just hear you through the screaming. Is there a problem with the download of my login to the network?
Sent you a message that you know what we think it means. What happens when we click? Rewrite the definition. Watch it burn us all to the ground.
Hey! Every day, don't forget I'm watching the doorways, ingress and egress, keeping you safe.
This is a mashup of Keeping You Safe from Round One, which was the song about the software firewall that like got a broken update and caused all those Windows computers to break, which I think was originally a Gizzo tune, right? And then also it's a mashup between the that and the Cardamom Seed song. There's a Trojan horse in my house, and while I didn't invite him in, I think he may stay from Round Three. And it is a most excellent mashup. Like, I feel like Seabass added a bunch of hand claps and percussions and, hey, you know, vocals that he added to the mix, which
Hi!
Been trying to meet you. But anyway, lots of really cool stuff in there. And there's this, you know, there's this moment at the end of the song when the final buildup hits and we get to the soaring chorus, and Cardamom Seed's tune sort of gets mixed in with some of Gizzo's vocals from the other song, and it becomes like a real mashup. Like there's some of column A and some of column B. It's just a very cool effect. So it's hard to do mashups, but I think he got this to work pretty well. And a lot of the charm of the Cardamom Seed song comes through in this, but it's updated and it's got some of these quirky percussive elements. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I wrote down this is a neat thing to do for other contestants. It is like to not even put your own voice on this song. You combine these two artists into this thing. Same way, I was really grateful to hear that chorus again. That this Trojan horse now lives in my house. It's so great. I love the way that Cardamom sings in a way that it's like their mouth is barely open. It's such a tight performance. And I love the combination. It made sense lyrically. It made sense musically. It was fun to revisit both of these songs, and the context made total sense. Again, just think it's a nice thing to do for other contestants to combine their songs in such a way. It felt very thoughtful to me from an artist. As somebody who has been called jazz rock many times, I originally called this artist Seabass for the longest time. And I've recently learned that it is Seabass. And that's what I'll be calling you.
Seabass is incredibly creative. He's done so many amazing things this contest, and this is just another one of them. I don't know how he lives with himself, that bastard.
Or how he has the time. Yeah, no, this song, this mashup, I like mashups in general. You know, it when they're done well, they're just fun and really cool and a great party to listen to. This one, you know, it's sped up a little, and you know, I always like a couple extra BPM in there, so that made me happy. And it's done really well. It's like if you asked me to mash up any two songs in Spin Towns 23, I'm not sure that I would have picked these, but you know, I do love Keeping You Safe, and I love everything that Cardamom Seed's done, so they would have been as good sort of candidates as any. It's just that it's so much faster than Keeping You Safe, you know, which is just so such a kind of a slow trotting along kind of wonderful song that I liked a lot. But yeah, again, I'm not sure which. I think I would try and find ones that seemed really similar. And I don't think that these were in particular, but it just worked so well. You know, it's like obviously Stacking Theory saw something in there that I didn't, and it was a grand success. I think super cool. I liked it. Also not a cover, so disqualified.
You will win no fake internet points for this entry.
All right. Up next, we have Micah Summersmith doing In a Quiet Room, which is a Celestial Drift cover.
I used to gaze up at the stars from the backseat of your car when we would travel so far. You used to look up at the planes and you would tell me all their names, though to me they all looked the same. But now I sing to you like you sang to me in a quiet room. I tell you, I will always miss the days we used to catch those fish, and you would fry them so delicious.
Micah was effusive in his praise of this song in the Round 4 podcast, so I shouldn't be surprised that he covered it. This is a good, very listenable cover. I like his harmonies, and I like his delivery of the lead vocal. I also really like the subtle, gradual build of the song that he sort of has in this cover, which I don't think is in the original, at least not as distinctive as in Micah's cover. Micah's cover really sort of sneaks up on you in a really nice way. So yeah, another big success, I thought. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he holds off on the like percussion until after the first verse. And it starts out, you wonder if it's just an accordion, but then you hear his slidey bass come in. But it's relatively in the background. And then, yeah, the percussion doesn't come in until later. This song has a pretty strong melody, and I think that's one of the things that really drew Micah into it, and I like how he sings it. And I think waltz time is just a great thing for an accordion, so I think it made sense to him. Like, he's an excellent accordion player, and yeah, I'm sure he knows a lot of waltzes, so this definitely worked out for the accordion sound. And I also liked his backing and harmony vocals, and I thought they added something nice to the song.
Wouldn't it be funny if this is the song I just went in on? And I was like, oh.
Get out the knives.
I'm just kidding, Papa. You did a great job. I think anytime you get an instrument that is not one of the traditional instruments that you're used to hearing in spin tunes, it's such a nice change. And Micah can play the accordion well, and that was really nice. The waltz for me is not always my favorite type. I don't get a lot of waltzes on the playlist that I am putting up at the parties, you know. But that being said, I think that he did a great job. And this song is gorgeous. Lyrically, I know that it was my third place in the final thing, but lyrically, it is one of my favorite songs of this round. I do still want to hear a version of this song where the music hits me as emotionally as the lyrics do. Because the lyrics always hit me in such a strong way. They are they're there, but I feel like I just want a really soft version of this. And I think that one way that Micah can do this potentially would have been to maybe put it in a slightly higher key. I don't need him to go up super high into, you know, I don't think Mike is like a falsetto person, but it's in such a low range that it's really hard to sing an intimate, low, soft performance when you're down here. And I almost wish that he'd gone up just a little bit to a higher key so that I could have gotten that real intimate, close performance that I expect from maybe a lullaby. But even with that said, that's such a minor gripe on a beautiful song, performed really well. I was grateful for it. Next up, we have Becca Gurney with Halloween Lullaby, Spooky Lo-Fi Remix, which is a cover of the Panicata Army.
No monsters lurk beneath the bed. The wardrobe is hiding no one dead. The creaks you hear are just the stairs. Not werewolves trying to catch you unawares. Close your eyes.
Amazing. Becca, just to confirm this, Becca is a member of the Alleviators. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, great. I thought this was delightful on every level. It really worked for me. Vocally, I think it might even be Becca's strongest performance of this, of Spintunes 23. I love all the vocal lines that are haunting in the background, the sort of super distant vocal lines that are happening. The production is so soft, so creepy, really gets under your skin, but not without ever sounding unpleasant. It sounds pleasant the entire way, but it's just really, it gives me goosebumps to listen to this song. The little movie quotes really add to the vibe. The hyper subtle monster vox, where she's tuned down her vox by, 12 semitones or whatever, down to a lower monstery tone, probably some altar boy or something. Really loved that layer that was there. Everything sounds great. It's a great mix. It's designed to be creepy and get under your skin. It's not designed to help children go to bed. But I think that intention is so very clear with both the performance and the production. And I love it. I don't have really any notes on this one. And if I were to crown my favorite of the bonus rounds, I think this would be it. Because every time I got to it, it really got under my skin in a way that I loved.
I was a fan of this one, too. I like trip-hop, and this kind of reminds me of some of the spookier trip-hop songs that I like. And I'm always into samples. So, like, there's this demonic laughter that you hear that gets sampled, and there's these children and adults talking to each other in the background, and it sounds really cool. Becca's voice is also great. I think she does these sort of ghostly backing vocals, which sound kind of spooky and are a very nice touch. Just a great remix, a nice listen. And I was wondering, is that Vincent Price laughing at the end at the track? I don't know. I thought it might be Vincent Price, but it's hard to say.
Potentially. You're so right, though. I hear the Portishead sort of vibes of it, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, I as with many kind of songs that are just really good, it's kind of hard to bring up a lot to say about them other than that they're really good. This is spooky. I love the lilting lead vocals and this kind of sparse-ish instrumentation. You know, it's a very good interpretation. And there's this one sort of layered echo delay effect at the very end of the song that I thought was just done really well. And I hadn't heard that before. And I'm definitely stealing that. So, yeah, just really. Yeah, I'd be taking one of those. Thank you. If I can figure out how she did it, I might not be able to. We'll see. All right. Last up, we have Hot Pink Halo doing Let the Moonlight Carry You Home by the Moon Bureau.
The thing that we're building, we can't build alone. But it's the best feeling that you'll ever know. live in a house that you call your own, where the moonlight carries you home. And I know there's work to be done.
I love Hot Pink Halo's cover songs. I feel like she can reach into a song and grab its like quality innards and pull them out and then portray them in her own voice and her own style. And just lovely, excellent. You know, she's got this very distinctive kind of delivery and style. And I don't know, I just like everything that she does. So I'm the last person who should be reviewing this song, because yeah, as far as I'm concerned, she can do no wrong.
I thought the piano sounded great. Like, it was really, like, full and well-recorded. I would not have thought of pairing a harmonica with it, but, like, I think it works really well. And I was thinking, wow, she's really smart about her instrument choices. And then the goddamn recorder came in, and I was like, oh, I can't say that. I just can't hear a recorder and not think of that terrible day in second grade where I was in a class of kids who were all just handed recorders and we all went ape shit on them. So,
what if you were to call it an ocarina?
Yeah, maybe.
Would it help your understanding? If you can recontextualize it and call it an ocarina, does that help?
That might help. But yeah. Crumpet's vocals also sounded really strong and really clear and really bright, I think, in this song too, which is very, I think, notable.
Yeah, I love the intimacy of the vocal. It's such a difficult technique to do, but to get really up on the mic and sing really softly, yeah. Especially in a lullaby, it just is so, it's such a nice listen. It's such a nice thing to hear. I do like the sound of the piano. I think one of the things that I was hearing that I thought it maybe was a little loud for the song, for the track, especially with the blend of the two, of the ocarina, which is what I'll call it, and the harmonica. I would have liked it maybe a little bit softer. I also think that it's probably a digital piano because it doesn't sound like there's much velocity sensitivity happening. Like, it didn't seem like necessarily the hammers were changing and what their dynamics were based on how it was being played. So I wouldn't have mind that being turned down to blend a little bit better. But again, that's such a petty note on a song that sounded really nice. And yeah, like you both said, a really unique voice in this competition, I think, compared to a lot of the other vocalists. And as a closer to this little playlist, it was a really nice finish to this group of songs.
So that's it. That's all of the songs for this last no stakes round of this no stakes competition, this most recent no stakes competition. So again, I love these round fives. I think they were a great idea. I'm glad that we're doing them. Any sort of comments about, I don't know, one thing that we haven't discussed is the competition sort of in general and the winner. You know, I may as well start out blathering about that. I thought that, you know, honestly, I would have been happy if any of them had won.
Agree. Totally agree.
And if you look at the totals, anybody could have won. Everybody's like vote counts were just a couple of, you know, individual points off one way or another from the first to the last. So, yeah, I mean, I was rooting for Cave Dwellers because I just for that last song, if nothing else, I thought was just excellent. But if it turned out that, you know, my number four pick would have won, I would have been perfectly happy too. So
was there anybody in this competition whose song that you rated at one point and it was like maybe lower than what you would rate it now if you were to go back and change your thing? Is there anything that you would change about your judging up to this point?
That's a trap. Sorry, no.
You're damn right. It is.
I'm perfect and I make no errors.
That's right. I second that. No, let's see.
Or how about, is there any other artist that you would have liked to have seen in the final round who didn't make it?
I definitely have one.
I do too. Yeah. Who's yours?
I really would have liked, after seeing My Broken Demo Tape, going through the thing, I really enjoyed a lot of My Broken Demo Tape songs.
Me too. Yeah. The one about football, artist, I loved.
Oh, so I good. Loved that track. Like, that's an artist that I'll absolutely continue listening to. Whenever they put out EPs and stuff, I will be listening to that stuff. I really think that lyrically, they're right up my alley. They have that sort of, I'm from Kentucky originally, and they have that sort of Midwestern vibe to them. I definitely hear. And there's also, I just hear influences that I love growing up. I hear Elliott Smith. I hear, you know, Silver Jews. I hear just so many bands that I and artists that I loved. And I just really think that they have a real special connection to the music that they make. And yeah. I love it.
I had a feeling you were an Elliott Smith fan when you talked about singing really close to the mic and all intimately, because mm-hmm. that's exactly what he does, and it works so well.
Oh, yeah. Had a huge era of Elliott Smith. I had a local library, and I would burn CDs from the library, so I would go and just get whatever they had, and they had a huge Elliott Smith collection, so I had a huge Elliott Smith collection as a result of my library growing up.
Nice.
Yeah. I like My Broken Demo Tape also. That was wonderful, but I got to say that I would have loved to have had them in the top four, but I can say that about several groups.
Totally.
You know, so it's kind of like, I would love to have seen like so many of them, you know, be in the last round, and would love to have heard a Lullaby from all of them. But having said that, I mean, I don't think it's wrong that they weren't in the top four any more than I think that it's wrong that Seabass wasn't in the top four. Seabass, I think, I mean, some of their stuff was not as good as other stuff. And I don't want that to sound too rough, you know.
So they had a lot going on. They were really working on a lot of songs.
That's the thing, but we didn't know, and it didn't show in their competing songs so much. So it's like, if you knew that DNSG was Seabass going into it, then, you know,
which
I don't
didn't.
Know if that would have, yeah, yeah. I found out, like, I don't know, at one of the actually, it was what, round two? No, it was round three. I sent Chumpy an email saying, like, should I mention this? That I think that I've figured out that DNSG is Seabass, and he's like, no, you shouldn't mention it. It's just another one of your weird conspiracy theories. So yeah, but and
what are the other conspiracy
right.
theories that you have? What else are we getting into here? Moon landing?
No, it's mostly about who is AI and who is not. I'm looking at you, Chase. Sorry.
No, that's great. That's fine.
Yeah.
No, I like the air of mystery around it. That's fun. That's
I would have liked to have heard more from Also in Blue. Because, you know, a couple of their
yeah,
tracks were just so good. So it would have been nice if they didn't get eliminated for not submitting. But
I agree, but I think it's also nice that they didn't just come in and steamroll everybody else, which was absolutely a risk.
Yeah, real
you
possibility.
Know, if you've got, you know, like there have been, for example, some Nurein competitions where one band comes in and is just one or two bands, and they just trade off immunity all the way through, and then one or the other wins at the end. And that's not as fun as having it mix up in the middle, you know. And I think that if they just come through and everybody else is trading off, you know, between what Sober and My Broken Demo Tape and the Alleviators, and you know, it's less interesting, you know, if you know that Also in Blue is going to end up taking it again.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I mean, I think it was really fun to see Alleviators go from the cusp of being eliminated to getting to the final round. Stuff like that's so fun. That's, yeah. you know,
and
part of what the competition is.
And Sober, I thought, was going to be in the top four in every round, but he didn't quite make it. People didn't like his song about the guy who was overly like religious, or what is the term I'm looking for? Sanctimonious.
Yes. And yeah. I like the idea of that song better than I liked the execution of that song. I think that's all it was for me, is that I love the idea of a guy out in the woods preaching stuff, you know, to a small borderline cultish group of people who I love that concept. And I, you know, I said it in my review, but really the only reason that I wouldn't have moved Sober forward with a song like that was because I've heard him give much better performances where he was more connected to the material and felt less like he was reading the lyrics off of a page. And that's really the only reason why I wouldn't have moved him forward with that, because I mean, Sober is obviously a very talented both musician and singer and songwriter.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating that he hasn't won one of these things. I know he's come close. Sorry, Sober, if you're listening.
He's beaten me quite a bit, so that's a consolation.
Yeah, he steamrolled a lot of folks, but just never quite managed to get into the winner's circle.
Yeah, we thought he was going to be there. Well, he's been in the circle, right? He just hasn't won. Oh, I mean, you mean he's been to round four?
Yeah.
And I voted for him for the best in the last time that we were judges, I think, too. But I'm not surprised he was eliminated off that one. I think it would have been great to see the Moon Bureau in the last round too, and maybe a little surprising that Panna Cotta Army is in there instead of them. But again, it's like, so many groups I thought deserve to be in round four that, you know, it's a crowded group of four.
Was the Moonborough, were they a first timer? Are they a rookie to the competition, or have they done it before?
I hadn't heard of them before.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
Let me see if they have something in their bio. Let me take a look. I'll play hold music while I'm looking.
Do, 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 do.
Meet the contestants. Probably under T for the.
Let's just say that they're new.
It says Ersatz Smith ripoff artist. That's it. That's all they have in their bio. No links, no nothing. If I wanted to do my online stalking, I could, but I'll save that for another day. All right. Well, I think we're wrapping up. Anybody have anything else that they want to say or announce or talk about with the competition, with anything like that?
Okay. No, this is great to do it. Thank you guys so much for having me on the podcast. I'm a big fan of the pod, by the way. I know I've already said this once, but if we're being grateful for things in this competition, the amount of time and effort that you two put into this is awesome. And I think that it makes the competition even richer to have different elements of reviews. It's also not cowardly. Writing a review for total cowards, but being able to put your voice behind it and people know what your personality is, there is a courage in that. And I think that your notes are helpful. I've always appreciated your feedback, whether it was good or bad. It really is helpful and useful. And I think that y'all do a great job. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And thanks for being our guest this round. I'm glad that we could steal some of your time away. And in order to make that sort of maybe a little worth your while, would you please plug yourself in any way you want for our 6 listeners and our 12 Russian bots?
Yeah. And I'll be one of the 6 listeners that I'm plugging myself to. Okay. So,
so us and then the other 3.
Sure.
Oh, I don't listen to this. I have taste.
Oh.
No, I'll be listening to the daily. No, this is, I don't have a ton to plug right now. I'd say, you know, if you want to follow the stuff that I make, Ersatz Records on Instagram or Kid Copter on Instagram. Are where I'm not running either of those accounts. I believe either John or Tony are. So if you see something on there and you're like, that's not a good post, I probably agree with you. But that's where you can follow a lot of the stuff that I make or I'm a part of. Come out to see a Second City show if we're in town. I might be one of the touring companies. I'll be out in Seattle in a couple weeks, spending 2 weeks there. I don't really have anything else though. We're just, you know, making stuff.
Cool. Also, of course, Kid Copter has a bunch of stuff on Bandcamp. I enjoyed myself a lot today scrambling to watch and become familiar with your stuff on YouTube. And I'm going to go back to that after we click off today. So, yeah, check out Kid Copter on YouTube or Ersatz Records on YouTube and on Bandcamp. You know, go check out all of that stuff. It's a lot of fun and a lot of good stuff.
Thank you, Jerks.
You're welcome, and thank you. We're going to do some shout outs too, and you're welcome to also. I'm just going to do the usual ones. I want to shout out to my husband. Thank you for the love and support and your patience. I want to shout out to Brian and to Alan. Brian, of course, occasional Jerkatorium lyricist. Thanks without you, Jerkatorium wouldn't have ever existed. And thanks to Micah for being the Spin Tunes emperor. Did a great, great job. I know he's busy, crazy busy, and yet he's still doing this. Thank you, Tommy, for continually doing the listening parties. And I'm going to shout those out too. If you have, you know, if you're competing, if you're not competing, they're always fun. Get in the chat, switch it to live chat instead of top chat, and participate and listen to some great new music whenever he's doing it. So yeah, I think that's it for me.
Cool. I'd just like to shout out to everybody on the Spin Tunes Discord. I've enjoyed watching all the chat there, and it's nice to be a part of that community. So hi guys. And I'm sorry the podcast is late. It's been on my desk to edit for the last couple days, and I have not been editing. So I will get to that very shortly.
Yeah, I want to shout out Ryan's husband for all the love and support he gives Ryan.
It's a lot.
Shout out to my wife, honestly. Claire does a great job of being very patient as I have. I mean, judging these things is way harder than I thought it was going to be. Way more of an involved process than I thought it would be. But I had a really great time. Thanks for having me. I also want to shout out to Micah. It's such a well-organized competition, and the reason it runs so smoothly is because of that organization. I know that we already brought this up, but the person who does the cover art, and I'm going to find their name
Matt
right
Shubes,
now.
I want to say his name is.
Matt Shubes, yes.
Yeah.
Really great artist. Consistently great work for those album cover arts. It's just a detail. It's, again, the details of this competition are what make it so special. And yeah, everybody who makes it possible is really incredible. So shout out to all of them.
I think we forgot to mention it, but I think that Matt Shubes was Matt of Matt and Donna.
Oh.
From the and company.
So he probably knows about the cover then.
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah, I guess so. He probably just... No, not a fan. I don't listen.
I just do art. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, that's right. I got a life. Come on. All right. But, all right. Are we all done?
Yeah, I think I hear the the theme music playing.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, there it is.
All right. I'm going to hit stop. We're out.